We were looking at some things in Psalm, in Psalms, and it had to do with, you know, God having consumed Himself with us. He's consumed with us. He loves us so much. You know, He is thinking every day. His thoughts are with us every day, thinking about us, watching over us, you know, sending His angels to help us, you know, all sorts of things that He does for us. And we're to have that same attitude towards God. We're supposed to consume ourselves with the things of God, you know, and thoughts, you know, toward God. You know, it's like what He encouraged Joshua with when Joshua was getting ready to take Israel over into the Promised Land. He said, you know, don't let my word depart out of your mouth. Don't, in other words, that's a great figure of speech, because it's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And really, you know, when you think about it, it's like, don't let yourself speak anything other than my word. Don't speak anything other than what I have said to you. What I say is true of you and for you. What my promises are for you. You know, and that's a tremendous discipline. You know, in because God has said, you know, that He's enabled us to live a life which is more than abundant. That's what Jesus Christ came to give us. He paid the price for us so that we could have the righteousness of God in Christ, and we could be sons of God also, and we could live a life which is more than abundant. And not be susceptible to the thief and the way he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Those things are going to happen, but we don't have to be subject to them. We don't have to allow them to roll out. You know, it's like when the adversary came to tempt Jesus Christ in the wilderness. You know, Jesus Christ was there. He was 40 days in the wilderness. He was tired. He was hungry. You know, He was sleeping on the rocks. You know, He hadn't eaten. He was very tired, very hungry. And the adversary came and tempted Him, you know, to get off His focus. And He had to discipline Himself to speak what God had spoken to Him. What God said was true. What God said, you know, in every category, you know, he responded with the truth, with what He knew. He didn't have a scroll in His pocket that He could just unroll, and you know, but He had looked at the scrolls many times. He had, in His own private time, sought out the Scripture, understood and learned the Scripture, so that He had it. He was aware of what God had said to Him and of Him, and promised to Him, and promised to anyone who would trust Him. And so, it's a discipline to think in terms of what God has made available to us, especially out there in the world. When we go out in the world, we see all the news of the world, and it's all bad news. None of it's good news. I mean, you're hard-pressed to find 1% of the news to be good news out there in the world. 99% of it is bad news. What, you know, who got robbed? Who got in a wreck? Who died? What, you know, global catastrophe has happened next? What's the price of oil? Oh my gosh. I mean, it's all bad news. And yet with God, it's a gospel. You know what the word gospel means? Good news. It means good news. You know, we're so ready to respond to the bad news that we hear out in the world, and we're very reluctant sometimes, when we get honest, to respond to the good news. Right? The good news is, if God be for you, who can be against you? That's good news. Good news to have God on your side. The bad news, life is tough out there in the world. The good news, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's good news. See, good news. And it just, it depends on how we respond to that good news. Are we willing to just focus on the good news? Or do we want to be conformed to the world and allow ourselves to be fashioned by the bad news of the world? You know, that's the bottom line about life. You know, you go to the unbeliever and life stinks. You go out there and you look at the world and the world is just in trouble. In trouble. Deep trouble. But God says, you're my people and I will take care of you. I will bless you. I hear you. I'm not dull of hearing. I hear you. And how many times do we go to God with the same complaints, the same, you know, cry? And yet God says, that's okay. I understand your frame. I know your dust. I know it's difficult, but I'm here for you. I am here for you. Numbers, look at Numbers. Numbers, remember when they came out of Egypt? They're sitting in the wilderness and everybody's freaking out. Moses, what are we doing here? And, you know, God says, I've got a land for you that's flowing with milk and honey. And so what happens? In Numbers, I think it's Numbers 13, right? Where he says to them, okay, take some guys. Is that Numbers 13?
Yeah.
Go out in the wilderness. He said, take one of every tribe. And the Lord spoke unto Moses. Verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I'm going to give it to you. I give it to you. Not, I might give it to you. I give it to you. And everything that God has promised is an absolute. It's never a maybe. And send thou man which I give thee. Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Pick a ruler among each tribe and send them to Canaan. And Moses command them. Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and these were their names. He names them, right, of each tribe. These are the names of the men which Moses, verse 16, sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get ye up this way, southward, go up into the mountain. He gave them directions. He said, here, go up there, turn right, go south, go check it all out. Basically a verbal map and directions of what to do. And when they came back, 10 of them were freaked out. Yeah, it's a great land. They brought back, you know, samples of the fruit, of the abundance that was there. The figs and grapes and, you know, they were just honey. All these wonderful things that were there in abundance, and they brought them back. They said, yes, it's everything that God has said, but the people have strongholds, and they're mighty, and they're fearsome. And 10 of them were like, we're doomed. Yes, it's a wonderful land, but there's no way we can receive these things. There's no way we can go in there and take it. 10 of them. And yet, only 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, no. God says He gave it to us, so it's ours for the taking. It's ours. See, and there's a perfect example of, you know, the majority of people who are so willing to just receive the report of the 5 senses and look at what it looks like by the 5 senses. The good news was God gave you that land. And there's no bad news that's going to overcome that or supersede that. Was there bad news? Yeah, if you don't know God. For them, it was, if you don't know God, if you don't trust God, it's a bad news situation. You know, the result of that is that God said, you know, these guys just fail to trust me. They refuse to trust me. Even after all the things I've done for them, the signs and the wonders bringing them out of Egypt. I mean, when you recall the story, when you recall the record of miracle after miracle, sign after sign. I mean, just incredible. And yet, out in the wilderness, they just refused to remember the greatness of God. You know, and that's the bottom line for all of us. You know, are we going to keep focused on the good news? I have given it to you. Or are we going to just collect all the bad news? You know, they went around, they spied out the land. And Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that said, no, God said it's ours. It doesn't matter. God said, well, Caleb and Joshua, you can go. But the rest of them can't. It may take a while to let all this unbelief die out. And that's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness, waiting. God just didn't snuff them all. Or just didn't say, okay, Caleb and Joshua, I'll lead you over. And the rest of them, they were together. They were a nation. They were a called out group of people. And all of them go or none of them go. So, by the time all the other 10 heads and all the unbelief had died out, then they were ready to go. And Joshua and Caleb brought them over. It's a wonderful record of simple principle. You know, and all through that time, while they were in the wilderness, God took care of them. God took care of even the unbelievers. Even the ones that doubted Him, God still took care of them. Even the ones who murmured and complained, He still had the manna there for them. Still had the quail for them. When they got tired of the manna, they said, I want meat. He had the flocks of quail just flood the place. And they weren't flying high, they were flying low. They could just pick them off. God, day after day, took care of them. Yeah. So, you know, we are challenged with focusing on the good news. You know, I can do all things. I don't care what's going on out there. All I care about is what God has promised me. And if we can focus on that, that's what Romans 12 is all about, with the renewing of the mind. To really not allow ourselves to be fashioned by the world and the ways of the world, but to look to God in all things, to trust God in all things. That's where there's true joy. There's no joy in looking at all the bad news and considering only the bad news. There's no joy in that. It's depressing. It's discouraging. It's defeating. And that's exactly what the adversary wants to do to the born-again believer. Because if the born-again believer is discouraged and defeated, he'll never do for God and God's people what God has called them to do. Never do it. Never be ready to speak by the Spirit of God. If you're discouraged and you know, all is lost and you know, it's just in sackcloth and ashes all the time, as they did in the Old Testament, you'll never be able to really speak by the Spirit when God inspires you, when there's a need in front of you. When there's someone with a real need to know who God is and what God is willing to do for them. You don't need to know all the Scripture. You just need to know that you can walk by the Spirit of God and trust God. And God will inspire you to speak the truth that you do know. It doesn't have to be Scripture and verse. But that which you speak should be based on Scripture and verse. I don't have to quote the Bible all the time as long as I'm speaking of it. And speaking the same thing. That's why in our private, you know, time that we have, in our quiet time that we have, you know, we have the scripture, we can read things that are addressed to us. And read and learn and be inspired. And God will bring those things back to us. Will He show it? Will He, you know, bring us the scripture and verse? Many times, no. But it'll be, you know, I don't know where it is, but I know I read one time that it says this. You know, I don't know exactly where it is, but I know that, you know, as if you really have faith in God, if you really have confidence in God, you can say to that house up there, roll down the hill and wind up in the pond. If that's what needs to happen. Why, that's impossible, the response would be. Yeah, I know it's impossible. But believing makes the impossible possible for you. And you can speak by the Spirit of God. And you can bring great deliverance to people. That's what God's called us to. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile people, not to our club, but back to God. Because God wants each individual to know who He is and know His love and care for them. Know that He is consumed with them. And is ready to do whatever it takes to bring to pass their request. Whatsoever we ask according to His will, He hears us. And we know if He hears us, we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. We know we can expect that to come to pass. That it's already done. You know, but we must be willing, you know, to focus on God's news. The good news. And speak of it. Speak of it. It says, you know, that's what God, that's what Caleb and Joshua did. You know, at one point Joshua rents his clothes and says, enough is enough. God said it, that's it. We need to go take the land. And God said to Moses, no, not yet. Yeah, he could do it. He could do it himself because he trusts me. But we got to get all this unbelief out of the way first. In Colossians, I think it's in Colossians. Is it?
4:6.
Yeah. Yeah, continue in prayer. Verse 2 says, watch the same with thanksgiving. You know, praying also for us that God would open a door of utterance. Verse 4 says, that we may make manifest as we ought to speak, walking. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Making best use of your time. You know, people in business know what that's all about. Redeem the time. But this is speaking in regards to our spiritual life and what God has made us. And you're not supposed to separate the two. You're not supposed to be spiritual one day, or I'll be spiritual this hour, and for the rest of the day, I'll go back to being the five senses guy. You know, we're supposed to redeem the time. That this is our life. That we are sons of God. That we're not to let anything but the Word of God proceed out of our mouth. Let's speak of the things of God. If we utter the bad news of the world, let's counteract it by the good news. Oh yeah, the economy stinks. So what? So what? Is God's economy hurting?
Nope.
There's nothing in the Word that says that the thousand hills that God has cattle on are running out of grass for the cattle? There isn't anything that says that. God says, I'm there for you. I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. That's why it says, we redeem the time. And how do we do that? Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace. In reference to the grace of God and the things that God has provided by His grace. Seasoned with salt. Right? That you may know how to answer every man. And when anybody comes up to you and says, ah, the economy sucks. Pardon me, I don't usually like that word. But everybody uses it these days. It's quite acceptable, it seems like. And yet, if my speech is seasoned with salt, if I am going to really speak with any kind of integrity as a son of God, then I am going to speak what my Father says. Because He's more powerful than anybody. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. He's my Father. And He says, it's okay. It's okay. With me, I'll bless you. I'll supply your every need according to my riches and glory. If you trust me. It's the only condition, just trust me. Seasoned with salt. You know, that's that great, it's that great custom that they had in the East. You know, whenever you shared salt with another person, that you were taking an oath that you would speak truly with them, that you would be honest, that you would not lead them astray, that you would be upright with them, that you would have integrity. How is it that anyone can have integrity as a son or daughter of the Most High God and say that your Father doesn't know what He's talking about? How is that being seasoned with salt when you speak? It's what it encourages us to do. Speak the way God speaks. But why? Because we have to redeem the time. We have to make good use of our time. Yes, we have to go to work. Yes, we have to do the things that we need to do to keep body and soul together. I know that. But as we do those things, what do we have in our mind? Do we have, oh, I got to do more, I got to do more, I got to do more, I got to do more. Oh, there's only 24 hours in a day, I got to do more. I need 27 at least. Or are we saying, you know, God, I can only do so much. You have to do the rest. You said you would. But I hurt. I'm sore. I can't keep up. God, you have to strengthen me. You have to renew my strength as the eagles. You promised it. You have to do it. You know, I know what happens with age. We all do. But the promise of God is He'll keep us going. He'll strengthen us. And He'll make the efforts that we make as unto Him. You know, with whatever we work, we do it heartily as unto the Lord. I'm not working for myself. I'm not working for my boss. I'm not working for anybody other than God. I'm just, what I do, I'm doing for Him. It's as if He is my boss. And then it's all going to work out. It's all going to follow the promises of God. You know, but this takes discipline. It does. It takes discipline to let your speech always pertain to grace. The grace of God. And speak with some salt. Right? It does. And that's why Joshua was the one to lead the children of Israel. Because he was the one who let his speech be always with grace. He knew that it doesn't matter what it looks like. The good news is God gave us that land, and God will give it. God will make sure we can take it. He spoke the truth. Yeah, they're mighty. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah, so what? So what? Is not God bigger than all of that? See, and that's our challenge. You know, that's the challenge we face day by day. Will we rise up to the occasion of what it is to be sons and daughters of God and speak? Speak like our Father would speak and bring deliverance to those people that, you know, are just afraid. They're discouraged. They're beaten down. They're bruised, like was mentioned last week at fellowship. You know, they're bruised out there. There are a lot of people who are bruised. And yet God has sent us, you know, to heal the brokenhearted. Same mission as Jesus Christ had. Each son of God, each daughter of God. And we don't have to do it for multitudes, but we can do it for one individual. We can deliver one person from fear if we just speak by the Spirit of God. Just trust God. Speak the things that He inspires you to speak. Be willing, be ready to do that. And if we're willing and ready to do it, then we can, we will. And we'll have opportunity to. So, you know, I think, again, you know, the thing to remember, what's more of a blessing to think about? Good news or bad news? Good news. Yeah. And the best news out there are the promises of God. You know, so let's focus on those things and let's speak of those things. Let's encourage one another. That's why, you know, that's what real love is. In Ephesians 1 or Ephesians chapter 4, where it begins now, the practical section, it says, walk worthy. You know, walk worthy. And verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing, holding one another up in love. How do you hold someone up unless you're speaking the truth to them? You can't hold anybody up with lies. You can't hold anybody up with false promises of the world. Oh, yeah, well, you know, if we... things will get better. They always do. Well, that's the world. Yeah, sure, things get better. They always do. But you know what? The better is always a little bit less better than it was the last time. That's the world. The lows are lower and the highs aren't quite as high. But with God, it's always good news. God always keeps His people above the fray. So remember that. And speak of that. Let's encourage one another with that. All right? So that's what I have to share for you guys. So Father, we're grateful for Your blessings, thankful for the encouragement of Your Word, and Father, for the way You do back up each and every promise. The good news that You have made known to us is awesome, and we're thankful, Father, for it. We're thankful that we have all those things by Your grace and Your mercy and can walk in them day by day. Thanks, Father, for all of Your blessings. In that powerful name of Jesus Christ.